Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, what's going on? How are we doing?
Let's face it, most of us are doing better than the Titans, right? Because suddenly we have all these questions now, right? We had questions last week about how might it look. Now we have questions like, oh my goodness, it looked like that.
It was pretty bad. I don't think there's any question about that, and a rough start to the season for the Titans. Teresa, we'll get a little bit deeper into the game itself coming up here in just a few minutes, but I do want to start with your thoughts on Mike Vrabel's press conference yesterday. Obviously, some comments about Julio Jones that have generated a lot of attention, referencing doing dumb stuff to hurt the team, to paraphrase what Mike Vrabel said. What was your reaction to that, and what do you think kind of the takeaway is for that if you're a Titans fan regarding those comments on Julio Jones?
Well, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm thinking good. And also if I'm a Titan in that locker room, I'm thinking even the 7-time Pro Bowler who's most likely got a quick ticket to the Pro Football Hall of Fame 5 years after he retires is being held to account by the head coach. And if there is a head coach out there that can do that, it's a guy who has 3 Super Bowl rings on his own hand, right? And Mike Vrabel making clear that, you know, you just don't hurt the team. And, you know, guys, it's lucky that, you know, some other referee, maybe Julio Jones, gets tossed. You know, because the way he was pushing, and you watch that replay, he kind of, I've heard it described as a punch. To me, it looked more like a shove to the face. But, you know, certainly the kind of continued action after the whistle that, you know, some guys would toss a guy like that. I mean, so, you know, and then you add on to it the performance. Targeted 6 times, catches 3 passes for 29 yards. So that unnecessary roughness penalty, you know, was, you know, he didn't even produce almost twice that, right? And more importantly, it wiped out a 7-yard run by Derrick Henry early in that game where maybe they could have established some, you know, rhythm, stayed on the field, changed the effect of that game. We'll not know, but guess what? It sent a strong message, right?
It did. Now, so this is our 4th season of covering Vrabel. And Teresa, I always find it interesting. I mean, I could watch like a Vrabel practice all day because it's very entertaining, and he's in command, and he's that voice is dominant out there, and he's keeping an eye on everyone and calling people out and being a very vocal head coach. But you tell me, I can't recall him calling out a player like this individually for a mistake or anything before, and maybe I'm forgetting something, but did it strike you yesterday as something that's very unusual for him?
No. I mean, I'll be honest. I couldn't cite you somebody specifically that he's done, but he has talked repeatedly about not doing dumb stuff to hurt the team. And this is under the category of absolutely dumb stuff. So, and for a team that had like 7 penalties for, I can't remember the exact yards, but, you know, that was a costly penalty. Jack Rabbit Jenkins also had one too, right? Defensive pass interference. So the veterans on this team, guys who should know better, made mistakes. But, you know, again, I go back to this. Mike Vrabel is confident and comfortable enough in his skin, and the message that he's been sending in that locker room of the don't do dumb stuff, that when you do it to the guy who just arrived in June, I think it felt to me, Joe, like it was intended to make sure and send a message that, guys, you know, you go to the whistle and stop. You know, you're not helping with this. And, you know, you're doing more to hurt than help. And, you know, making it very clear that even Julio Jones, is not immune to such criticism.
Teresa, what was the most surprising part of the game on Sunday? Obviously, the Titans were not good in really any phase of the game on Sunday against Arizona. What surprised you the most about the way Arizona came in here and handled the Titans?
Well, probably the way the offensive line played. I mean, we were hoping that maybe the way the defense played in the preseason would carry over, but this is an offensive line that, yes, it's a different right tackle, but you had Taylor Lewan back, and while they had not had a ton of practice, I mean, you probably count on one hand how many times the entire offensive line was together this preseason, right? But this was a line that allowed 25 sacks last year. You know, Ryan Tannehill had not been sacked six times in a game since December 1st, 2019. And to see him go down that many times, you know, we all had questions last week. In fact, Joe and I talked right before the game. And you know, Joe was worried about the rust, and I thought, well, here's the thing. These guys are talented and veteran enough. We'll see if they can just pick up and do, you know, and make this look as seamless as they say it could be. And Joe was right. They were very, very rusty. The lack of chemistry, timing, whatever you want to call it, was very, very obvious. And going against Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, you would think you'd be on your P's and Q's for your pass protection, right?
You would think so.
Well, you can say I was right. Believe me, I did not foresee this debacle at all. But, you know, it seemed like a lot of things conspired for that game to get out of hand. But, yeah, the offense was just – I think I'm with you on the most surprising thing, Teresa, the offensive line. And I feel like, you know, look, I mean, the guy who really struggled, obviously, gets all the attention for it, Taylor Lewan, I would think that he would figure it out and get into a groove, and Jones and Davis, who just came off the COVID list, would get into a groove. So I still feel like there's a lot, you know, of growth that we're going to see with that side of the ball. But defensively, I've heard a variety of opinions. I came away sort of like, well, you needed that stop when it's 24-13, and you needed to, you know, to make more plays. But I didn't think that it was all that different from what I expected. And I don't think that, like, there's no reason for hope on that side of the ball, even though this was a 38-13 game. What do you think about just the defensive side of the ball, Teresa?
Joe, they made some stops early. I mean, they did force the Cardinals to a field goal early, right? You know, when they were backed up against their own line, they did some good things early. But, you know, they were on the field for a long time. It was really hot. And, you know, when Mike Vrabel was saying afterwards they didn't play complimentary football, well, this is where it hurt the defense. The offense did not stay on the field long enough, especially early enough, to help them get recovered before having to go out and chase that jitterbug of a quarterback in Kyler Murray. So, you know, yes, their third down issues still look like they've absolutely been untouched. But you're going up against DeAndre Hopkins, and, you know, A.J. Green was kind of a, you know, the guy that stood out to me the most, Christian Fulton. And, you know, Mike Vrabel said yesterday he's excited to watch this young kid play football. So am I. I mean, he played some good ball. You know, if you follow Pro Football Focus, he had probably the best day out of that secondary for the Titans. So, you know, there were little teeny pieces of, but, you know, that's a unit that absolutely has to play better. But, you know, get some help from the other side, you know. The field goal unit, which now they're looking for yet another kicker. I mean, it's almost comical at this point how many kickers they keep going through because of injuries, this, that, and the other thing, and not being able to simply make the kicks. I mean, you know, Badgley made a 55-yarder in pregame. I was watching and shot video of it. And then he goes out there and he can't make the 46-yarder when it counts. And that's become such a big issue. But, again, this defense – you know, unfortunately, they've got to face another quarterback who can run around and buy time in Russell Wilson. And there's Lamar Jackson on the slate later this year. You know, that's the thing about the NFL. There's not that many guys that just simply sit back there and let you come tee off on them. The pass rush has got to get better. You know, they got close, but they got close a lot of times last year too. So, some little teeny promises, but it's a unit that's got to get better regardless.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teresa, last thing for you here. Obviously, we knew heading into the season, Todd Downing is going to be a heavy point of conversation. And, you know, it's interesting in that game where, as you mentioned, the offensive line struggles the way that it did. I don't know how much you can take away from the play calling that took place with Todd Downing. So in your mind, what is fair, what is unfair when it comes to the criticism of Todd Downing that we've already seen from a lot of Titans fans since Sunday?
Well, I'm going to lean on a colleague who covered Todd Downing's 1 year as the Raiders offensive coordinator. And he pointed out after the loss on Sunday here that Downing coordinated offenses have averaged 13 points per game over his past five games, scoring 17 or less in each game dating back to 2017 and his time with the Raiders. So, guys, I'll just say this. you've got Derrick Henry. Everybody knows he ran for 2,000 yards last year. You think, you know, for all the talk about pick your poison on offense, did we not think that maybe they're going to start with trying to stop the one thing they absolutely know the Titans can do, which is run the ball? And sometimes we saw this offense starting to move in the second quarter when they were doing what? Throwing the ball. You know, if you want to back off a Chandler Jones or something like that, you get the ball out and you get it downfield quickly. Ryan Tannehill can do that when you're not trying to do your play action maybe to start the game. I'm very curious to see how they react. Mike Vrabel said they were outcoached. Got to think that includes the offense as well. So I'm very curious to see how much they maybe tweak the start of that game plan. You can't get into play action if you can't run. Maybe you have to throw so that you can set things up these times.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Teresa, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Teresa Walker, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll come right back and react to what Teresa had to say there as well. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And now Andrew Reinhart with Hillside Medical joins us to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, I am doing well, and that's right, guys. If you're out there a little frustrated in the bedroom, experiencing some erectile dysfunction, Hillside Medical Clinic, for the first time in 30 years, is treating the actual root cause. Our technology, it opens up and regrows blood vessels, not invasively, no surgery. It gets the blood flowing in the bedroom where you want it, when you want it, and thank goodness there are no pills or side effects included.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this new technology you just mentioned?
It is extensive. At hillsidemedicalclinic.com, we have almost 50 clinical studies. Even Cambridge University and several others have vetted this, shown it to be highly effective, safe. It was even called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, I hear you have a special offer for our listeners if they call in right now.
We certainly do. It's Tuesday today, and we've got a lot to offer. Call us now. The assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound with our doctor, that's free. And you get the gift that you'll love. It produces immediate and powerful results in the bedroom. Hundreds of dollars in value this morning. We're doing it free to callers right now.
Andrew, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it. And you heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and on YouTube every single day. And our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Thanks to Teresa Walker from the Associated Press for joining us in the last segment. And some interesting stuff there from Teresa. And one of the things that we hit on there with her was some comments made yesterday by Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, at his Monday press conference about Julio Jones and the personal foul penalty in the first quarter that took the play from a 3rd and 1 to a 3rd and 16. And as we know, that did not go well for the Titans on 3rd and 16 after that. Lots of buzz both here locally and nationally from Mike Vrabel's comments on Julio Jones yesterday. Here's what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say at his Monday press conference yesterday regarding Julio Jones and his personal foul penalty.
From Julio, and maybe did he give you maybe a talking point already about maybe keeping your composure and getting that penalty?
Sure. Critical mistake. You know, I don't think that, you know, those are absolutely, that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. You know, so that would fall into the category of doing dumb that hurts the team, right there, in bold letters. Goes from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16.
So you can kind of feel the angst, the, I don't know if disgust is the right word, but pretty upset.
Frustration
in Mike Vrabel's voice there from just going over that play of Julio Jones and what exactly that meant in terms of the game, but just we hear Vrabel all the time talk about playing between the whistle and doing things that you've got to control and not doing dumb stuff to hurt the team, to paraphrase what Mike Vrabel said. I found that to be very interesting yesterday. And again, we've talked about it some today. Teresa talked about it there as well. I think if you ask different people, you'll get different opinions on what exactly it means or what exactly the message was from Mike Vrabel. Is this some sort of frustration that he's had with Julio Jones? Is it simply a message to get Julio Jones going? Is it a message to the rest of the team through Julio Jones? I don't know exactly what the tactic was there from Vrabel yesterday, but I do know that it was interesting, and I agree with you. It's something we don't see happen very often from Mike Vrabel, specifically calling out a player like he did yesterday with Julio Jones.
And I think it's also, I mean, it's an indication of the type of mistake here.
Yeah.
You know, someone, what was it, on Periscope or Twitch or somebody was Periscope. Like, what about the mistakes from Taylor Lewan? Well, the funny thing is with Taylor Lewan, now in the past he's had mistakes like this that have been very costly. But Taylor Lewan, you know, didn't do his job well. Taylor Lewan got beat one-on-one by the player he was trying to block. So that's not the same as a post-whistle penalty that takes you from third and one to third and 16, critical point of the game. You're trying to flip this game around that's 10-0 because, you know, your quarterback got blasted on a naked bootleg and it's going very poorly. Now you have a third and one. Oh, it's third and 16. Here comes the punt. Oh, here comes 17-0. So I think the type of transgression is also part of it. Someone pointed out to me that, and it's, I mean, I guess this is, I should have thought about this earlier. He definitely did this with Rashawn Evans because that's actually the original quote. The original time he said dumb bleep to hurt the team was also, it was a question, and I don't remember who asked the question or all that stuff, but it was about Rashawn Evans, if you remember last year, had a few of these like personal fouls during the season, going back to actually week one at Denver. And so Vrabel late in the year, and I think he had one at Houston, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
When the game they won was Sloman, and he said he put that in the category of dumb. So there's I guess, the first time that I can recall it, where it's like a specific individual player. Now, again, he's asked, in both cases, asked specifically about it. Jim Wyatt asked him yesterday about the Julio situation. But, yeah, it's notable because it's rare. Now, this has gotten a lot of reaction around the league, and it's just like anything with the Titans or anything with a local team versus, like, the national reaction. There's a lot of context people don't have. But that, to me, is the notable part of this that probably a lot of the national media don't understand or don't know, is that he just doesn't do this. He doesn't do this, and he doesn't even do praise too much with individuals. He just kind of likes to, he certainly doesn't talk injuries. I think he basically just likes to not really get into individuals too much in the media. I mean, that's, and he's been asked before about players making certain mistakes. And in fact, I remember he got upset with me asking about Anthony Firkser a couple years ago when he had a catch at the goal line, and that was the "you're a professional writer" Joe quote. And so that was, you know,
we gotta find that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But asking about Firkser making that mistake, and he was upset, like, you know, you're gonna call out this guy, you know, for making that mistake in the game. Now again, that's different from this. Totally different mistake. It's guy trying to make a play, DB hit him hard, the ball popped up, the Texans intercepted the ball. That's not a dumb penalty after the whistle. But that's an example of, he typically does not like to do any sort of individual criticism publicly. Now, on the practice field, let it fly. Those conversations are off the record.
Now, as Ryan Porth points out, Steve Lehman, the one that asked the question last year that led to the don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team response.
Good memory.
Yeah, it's good stuff there.
Good memory, Ryan Porth.
I think a part of the answer was, the message, Steve, is don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team.
Don't do dumb to hurt the team.
That's right.
Now, wait, was that?
That
Michelle?
Was the original one.
That was
one.
Yesterday? That was the original one.
That was the original one.
Oh, we still have that.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's like Vrabel's, and that's been used lots. It's a great quote.
It is.
But, again, anybody, like, I mean, I asked Teresa, like, do you find this? I was surprised that her response was no, because I can't. So there's two, but this is year four, and it's very rare. Again, like I said earlier in the show, he had an extensive sort of analysis of Kenny Vaccaro's play in the win at New England in the playoffs. It was Kenny Vaccaro had a great game. And I remember that day being like, whoa, he never does that. So he just doesn't like to really praise slash rip anyone much.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in. I don't think he called out Julio. The question referred to Julio, and he answered it like he would with any player that did a penalty and was asked about it. So Ben not buying that it was a specific call-out of Julio Jones.
I mean, he was asked about Julio Jones, and then he answered on what happened with Julio Jones.
Yeah.
So, I would say that he was talking about Julio Jones.
I would say so.
Now, again, to your...
Now, what does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, okay, maybe it's taking the opportunity to send a larger message. That could be. You can go all sorts of ways with this.
Yeah.
I mean, we are sitting here. Look, Monday is the day of overreacting to the terrible performance, and now we have a little soundbite that we can spend hours on.
Sure, but I think what you've pointed out, too, is another part of this conversation that's interesting. Like, it's one thing when you're still, as I imagine Vrabel was, pissed off on Sunday after that loss to go out and say something like that. It's another thing when you've had almost 24 hours to digest what happened. You've looked at the film, and you still appear to be really upset by that. Like, look, I'm all for it. I'm all for these press conferences having a little bit more spice to them, and I have no problem with what Mike Vrabel said. I mean, anything you can do to light a fire under your team after what we saw out on that field on Sunday, I'm totally cool with. So I have no issue with what Mike Vrabel said. I just, is there some sort of deeper meaning? Because that's really the conversation nationally that's happening right now. We've seen all the stuff come out about Julio Jones the last couple of weeks through how his time ended in Atlanta. Jared talked a couple weeks ago about some of the sources he talked to in Atlanta and not practicing on the field. We know that Julio Jones didn't practice for the most part in training camp. So is it a deeper issue with Julio Jones, or are we reading or some reading way too much into this? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but that's going to be the story and the talking point nationally is, does Mike Vrabel have a problem with Julio Jones?
Right. Exactly. And look, I don't know. I think that could be an overreaction for sure. But, I mean, like, you have to, again, look at this with the context of how he normally goes about his business. This stands out. And also, on the flip side of reaction to this, I've seen a lot of this, and I think it's fair. Well, why is this one thing being blown up? How about don't do dumb stuff like put Kendall Lamb on an island with Chandler Jones?
Yep.
Don't have the overall offensive performance you had. Don't kick the field goal fourth and one when you're down 24-6 and you just saw the guy yanking it. You know, you can now send it back to Vrabel and say, what about this, 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 and this from this awful performance?
Sure.
You're telling me that the 15-yard penalty by Julio Jones was worth that kind of reaction and then the other stuff isn't?
Oh, that's a fair point. Look, and you'd be hard-pressed to convince me that the personal foul penalty from Julio Jones had much to do with the impact and the outcome of that game. Now, I will say it was still early in that game, and if you can keep that drive going, I mean, who knows? Who knows what happens there, but they pretty much got whipped in every phase of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that's always the fascinating thing with football games. Like, even like the Browns game reminded me of this game some, except it was the defense. But it's like, even if they're just like one play or something early, like they're not like way worse than the Browns, right? I don't think that they're 25 points worse than the Cardinals either.
No.
If they played 10 times, what would happen?
Well, I mean, and that's part of it's week one too, right? Like, you know, the Titans destroyed Buffalo last year. Are the Titans 30 points better than the Bills?
Right.
Probably not. But it's sometimes games like this happen in the NFL.
So early on, Josh Allen throws a bad pick. You get a couple plays, and all of a sudden it's a snowball. So if on this drive you do find a rhythm and you make it 10-7, actually, yeah, I do think it could be a different game. But, I mean, after it's all said and done, we watch the whole performance. Yes, I agree. Like, you're taking one play of so many bad ones and making a big deal of it.
So what did you make of Mike Vrabel's comments on Julio Jones and the personal foul penalty? Is it a big deal? Is it a small deal? Is it no deal? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will take place on November the 5th at Nissan Stadium. Once again, that's November 5th at Nissan Stadium. Register and learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans and Mike Vrabel's comments yesterday on Julio Jones. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Kenston texting in. It's not a big deal at all. Vrabel would have addressed any player like that. Media's just turning it into something. Monday through Saturday is talking season. Sunday is where everything matters.
Okay. Well, Kenston, again, then I have to acknowledge that sometimes I forget things. This has happened a time or two on the show.
It's okay.
So tell me when. I mean, I'm not saying this is the biggest deal in the world. They're going to move on and practice this week, and we'll see how they play. But it is unique, based on my memory. And by the way, thanks to Teron Davenport for pointing out to me the Rashawn Evans, that it was specifically about Rashawn Evans. Because in my mind, that was just a quote at some point about, don't do dumb bleep. But it was actually about Rashawn Evans. But I can't come up with a third. If someone can come up with a third here in the fourth season of Mike Vrabel, I'm all ears.
Well, and the part about it being talking season, I mean, I hear what Kinston's saying there, but it's also the head coach was the one doing the one talking. Like, it's not like this was just brought up out of nowhere.
Exactly. I mean, look, is this total fodder for, well, shows like this and
yes.
other shows?
Yes, it is.
And Get Up and all this stuff, and people are going to, yes, and I understand how it gets annoying, for sure. But look, the moment he did that, I was sitting next to Michelle yesterday at the press conference, and I tweeted it, and I like tweeted the quote, and then I tweeted, "Damn!" I was like, "This doesn't happen with Vrabel very often at all."
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh from Mount Juliet texting in. I think it's as big as Julio makes it. If he takes it personally, it can disrupt the locker room. If he can move on and take the criticism, I think it can rally the team. And it's interesting, like reputation. I almost said repetition. I got way too much Butch Jones speak in my head right now. I've got to get it out.
Brick by brick, right?
Yeah, brick by
word
brick.
Word by word, brick by brick.
The reputation of Julio Jones, I mean, largely, I mean, we had Jacob Tammy on the show that spent a lot of time playing with Julio Jones. Pretty much everybody that's ever played with Julio Jones loves Julio Jones. So, you know, I've never gotten the impression that Julio Jones has been some big problem in the locker room. And based on what you've said and what we've kind of noticed about Julio on this team so far, looks like the players love Julio Jones around here. So, look, I don't think at the end of the day this is going to be some big deal or it's going to end up turning, you know, a Julio Jones versus Mike Vrabel type thing. Like, Julio Jones has been in the league long enough. He can take some criticism, hopefully. You know, he did play for Nick Saban, not afraid to call people out either. That happened a few times, I'm sure. So it's not like Julio Jones has never heard this from a coach before in terms of being critical of your play. Taking it to the media is different and certainly, I think, notable when it comes to Mike Vrabel. But I don't anticipate now that Vrabel has done this that all of a sudden Julio Jones is just going to be, well, all right, I'm done. I'm out.
No, that's not going to be the case. Like, if you went back to Mike Mularkey, like, let's say Mike Mularkey had never been fired, and now they were in the midst of this run with Mike Mularkey as the coach. Like, Mike Mularkey did stuff like this all the time. Mike Mularkey, a player made a mistake, a penalty. Lawan, I mean, he called out Lawan, and rightfully so, after some of those penalties. I mean, the one against the Raiders a few years ago, that was just a terrible jump on the pile, and that really cost him. You know, he was one of those coaches who would tell you, here's the injury, it's the fifth metatarsal, and he'll be back in 17 days. And he specifically individually called up players all the time. So it wouldn't, I mean, to me, in my opinion, at least locally, maybe nationally it's the same thing, same reaction to any kind of quote like this. But locally, I mean, it'd be like, okay, does that all the time. It's just that, again, this is in the context of Vrabel and how he normally goes about his business, this is different.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Henry texting in, maybe Vrabel gave a straight-up answer to the question that was asked to avoid the never-ending loop of same questions being asked differently by others. So Vrabel just changing it up. A little bit of dose of honesty to spice things up.
Keep changing it up, man.
I mean, I'm cool with it.
Keep doing it.
Kinston texting back in, A.J. Brown's rookie year when he jumped on Taylor Lewan for doing something stupid in the Colts game that year. Vrabel said the same thing about Lewan, I think. I'd have to go back and find that.
Okay. I mean, I can't sit here and say you're absolutely wrong. I mean, if this is actually two times in the four seasons where there's been any sort of hint of criticism of a player, I'd be surprised, but I can't think of any others. And it certainly doesn't happen much, and it certainly does not happen to that extent.
Dennis texting in, I think in 2 weeks, no one will remember the don't do dumb stuff comment. It isn't a big deal for a coach to not want players to take dumb penalties. Like the Rashawn punch, Vrabel said the same thing. Maybe it's just Vrabel's strategy. After the first game, he picks a guy to say don't do dumb stuff to set the tone. He's done it 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, well, again, I do think that it's important here to point out, like, the type of mistake here has to be infuriating to coach, and it should be. I mean, it was dumb. Like, it's fair for Julio Jones to be called out for that. It was, like, you can't have that, especially from a great player, a veteran who's been in the league so long. You can't, you know, lose your cool like that. So this type of penalty is going to infuriate any coach. So that's part of it, for sure. Was it? I do think that it would also be easier to just shrug off as, okay, you know, you're upset, you said something, you move on, if it was right after the game.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, I as a coach, I think you feel like maybe a lot of the mistakes that were made on the field in terms of not being able to protect the quarterback, some defensive lapses. I mean, we saw, you know, Jackrabbit Jenkins kind of falling down all over the place on Sunday. He talked about that and having to go out and check out what the field's like, all these different things. Like, I think you feel like if you're Mike Vrabel, a lot of what you saw on Sunday is correctable, and that has everything to do with your preparation during the week and correcting things that way. Like, Julio Jones and the play he made has nothing to do with preparation. It's not emotionally responding to something that happens on the field. I mean, Nick Saban talks about this all the time. When you make an emotional decision, 9 times out of 10, it's going to hurt your team. And that's what happened with Julio Jones. Now, you know, we've had some Titans fans look at that play, too, and say, all right, well, you know, Julio Jones got hit in the face on that play, too. Why is there not two flags?
It's always the second guy.
It's always the second guy. We've learned that in this league.
Julio Jones knows that. Knows that well, 32 years old.
Yeah.
It's always the responder.
Vincent and Dixon texting in, can anyone argue that what coach said wasn't the truth? I don't think anybody's arguing against that.
No.
That's why we say it. Like, we have no problem
now
with what he said.
Again, the truth, yes. The one mistake from that game that deserves to be lifted above others and made an example of? So we had a call earlier, Ron, and I basically agree with Ron, like, wait a minute. Let's turn the mirror on you. And that's, I think Vrabel, like a lot of coaches, here's a cliche. You know, you point the finger. Look at, you got to look at me.
I'm looking at you.
The thumb is pointing back at you. You point the finger, the thumb is pointing back at you. Okay?
Beautiful.
That's a big Mark D'Antonio phrase. But so, like, it was just the fact that this one is made a big deal of after all of the things that went wrong for the team, I think that's fair to look at and say, why? Why is that? Why is this the one? He wasn't wrong. It was a dumb penalty. Boy, we've listed everything. We've listed a lot. We could probably go through the play-by-play and find a couple other things that you'd really have a problem with from this performance.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do we get the same quote from Vrabel if it's the same penalty but the Titans win the game? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, actually, the first one was
after the Denver game, right?
Well, no, I believe that the quote was actually from the Houston Texans win to win the division. Am I misremembering?
I feel like it was earlier in the year than that, than week 17. Maybe. I have to go back and look.
Well, certainly Rashawn Evans had the one against Denver. He had like three at different points of the year, but I thought he had one at the end, and that's when the question and comment were made. I could be wrong. There's so many things I need. I need people to help me remember things. I'd ask Kaharski, but he'd like, you know, go find a quote from Vrabel saying, coach better, play better, and think that that was the answer. That joke fell flat, but you get what I'm saying.
Very nicely
yes.
done.
But actually, no, I thought it was after the Houston game. So if anybody remembers that specifically, TD, keep texting me, TD. I need help.
We'll do some research on that during the break. Get more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October the 9th? Well, if you do, head on over to our YouTube page and subscribe to 102.5 The Game's YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Stones. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September the 20th. So make sure you head on over to YouTube and subscribe to 102.5 The Game on YouTube. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
And my personal text line.
Uh-oh.
Getting so much help. Thank you, Jared Stillman. Finally, a text that's not destructful and... Wait, destructful?
Destructful.
Destructful's not a word.
Journalism.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good stuff. I like that.
I'm good at talking English. Jared says, and he was right, you looked it up, it was the Cleveland game last year. So that was a loss. For whatever reason, I thought that he had done something in the win over Houston, and maybe he did, but the first quote of don't do dumb bleep was after that ugly. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, I've already thought about the Cleveland game as a comparison to this game where you just get ambushed and you know you're better than this and you're not, you know, several touchdowns worse than the opponents that's just thrashing you, but that's just how the game turned out. So maybe some of this is just like how the overall game went adds to the emotion. But again, it's the next day he's talking about it. Also, Corey Curtis on my personal text line, driven by poor speaking of English, said Darren Bates took off his helmet. Yeah, that's right, preseason game, and got a similar comment. So there you go. So figured there weren't just two instances total. I'm standing by and feel very good about saying it's rare, and especially rare with this kind of intensity of words.
The full quote last year from Vrabel after the Cleveland game, the message is don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team. And I don't use that lightly. That's the joke we have, and I apologize for my language, but that's what I tell them all the time about penalties. At the end of the day, we can't do dumb stuff that hurts the team. I think those players that were involved in that would tell you that that is hurting the football team.
See, yesterday he didn't apologize for his language. He said in bold letters.
He did.
He said, here's a bleep for you, and I'm putting it in bold letters. So,
third and one to third and 16.
That
sounded disgusting by that.
Mute, by the way.
Yeah, I did.
One nothing.
I mean, you had like four yesterday, but cool.
No way.
You had a lot yesterday.
Probably not.
Did I?
Maybe
Michelle?
Maybe even an unmute.
Joe, you've got like a bunch, and I think
Bobby
and I just were like, oh, there we go.
We just roll
again.
With it now.
We just roll with the punches.
That's right.
Ganged up on by millennials. Oh, it hurts.
Dennis texting in, maybe it's rare because it's rare that the Titans do stupid stuff.
That could be. Probably not.
Very disciplined.
Probably not.
Well, no, but look, I mean, that was a bad one, and they're not typically a penalty-heavy team. They've been one of the least penalized teams in recent times. So that's true. I mean, look, that penalty obviously is going to infuriate you as a coach. Now, I'm just saying there's a whole bunch. I mean, the film review of this game must have been just fascinating, especially when the offensive groups got together. I mean, there's just so many things out of that game that you had to really dislike if you were Mike Vrabel.
I'm sure it was a really fun film session to watch as well from the coaching staff. So now you try to flush it and move on. What did you make of the comments that Mike Vrabel had on Taylor Lewan yesterday in terms of, obviously, even yesterday on our show on the text line, and some today. He's been a very popular topic of conversation, getting beat repeatedly in that game, and Mike Vrabel addressed that yesterday at his press conference. Got a quote that says, you get beat. Sometimes that happens. We have to improve, and Taylor has to improve. We said this before. In this league, your best players, they have to play good on Sunday for you to win. That's how the game is set up, and that didn't happen for us. It happened for Arizona yesterday.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot. There's also a lot with Lawan. I missed Darren. I missed D-Mac, Darren McFarland. Apparently he and I actually texted. I heard part of the conversation yesterday, and I texted in because I think he thought that like Taylor Lawan didn't want to talk to media, and then he had the tweet, you know, basically like, I mean, basically owning up to like playing terrible and,
yeah,
and you know, saying thanks to Chandler Jones for, you know, motivating me or whatever he said. But I mean, basically saying I got my bleep kicked. A lot of bleeps.
There,
I mean, I guess so. I could say that word, but I don't know.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
There you go. It's a family show. And so I guess D-Mac was like, well, how are you going to, you're going to tweet that, but then you're not going to, I will tell you, and I actually got this confirmed too. I mean, Taylor Lewan was not ducking me. He would talk, I think, any situation. And you know, all the time here, and of course I go back to the glory days of having an open locker room. When they lost at Jacksonville in 2016, a brutal loss. They could have won the division. Marcus Mariota breaks his leg. They lose to a terrible Jacksonville team. They end up not missing playoffs. At first, Lawan declined comment. He waved me away. And then he was like, you know what? You're trying to do your job. Come on. He was miserable. He was angry. In great moments and bad moments, Taylor Lawan is the number one player you want to talk to. Not because he says outrageous stuff, but because he gives you honesty and insight. And it's hard to get away a lot of times from players speaking cliches. And he's always real. Taylor Lawan was not trying to dodge it. Now, the Titans chose Saffold, and it was, I guess I was told, it was sort of like offensive line rep. You try to get different position groups, and Saffold's good too. But I put in a request yesterday, you know, every game, every situation, please bring out Taylor Lewan.
Every day?
Good, bad, middle. Well, yeah, I mean, that's fine too.
That is fine.
Again, the glory days of the open locker room. Go in the locker room every day. That's whoever's right. There is there, and he was usually there.
He was.
Usually loud, and if you talk to him, usually get good quotes. But he wasn't dodging, and I don't know. I didn't have a problem with the thing. It's just like the whole thing with Lawan and the podcast, too. It actually really bothers me. Not because I've never listened to podcasts. I think I heard the part about Vrabel cutting off his bleep. It's the bleep show, because that got a lot of play. But, like, people, when someone plays poorly and then, you call out, like, the podcast or whatever, if you think Taylor Lewan cares more about his podcast than being, like, a great NFL player, like, you're not using your brain.
Well, it's like
you're not looking at things, because that's not true.
It's like when PK struggled a little bit here at times, everybody's like, well, maybe he should practice hockey a little bit more rather than going out and doing stuff on social media and on
right,
TV shows with Trevor Noah and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, well.
So again,
he's not playing hockey 23 hours out of the day.
Right. So again, so people who have free time, who sit quietly in their homes and read a book or watch TV or go take a walk or whatever, and aren't visible to the public, are doing the exact same thing. They're using their free time for free time. If you use it to do a podcast, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. But anyway, that's enough defending Taylor Lewan. He was very bad Sunday.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, Lawan has let us down so much in the last few years. I can't remember him being reliable. From bad penalties to suspensions to injuries to bad games, he is good when he's good, but I'm very close to being over it. I wouldn't be surprised if he is a move on a year early rather than a year late candidate from J-Rob.
Oh, well, I agree with the last part, but, I mean, with that contract, I mean, look, if Taylor Lawan is what we saw Sunday, he won't be here next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy, okay? But as far as the let you down and stuff, look, he's had some bad penalties. I think mostly he's cleaned that up. And, man, I think he's played awfully well. I'm trying to think of games over the last few years where you're like, boy, the high-priced left tackle just didn't do his job.
I think we got a first-hand glimpse last year of how important Taylor Lewan is when he's on his game, when he wasn't there.
Yeah, and just when he was playing last year. And I agree with the suspension. That's fair, for sure. So 2 years ago, that team starts 2-4 largely because he's suspended for the first four games. So, and he handled that incorrectly, no matter what you think of all of that. You know, I mean, he could have handled it differently. So that's a fair criticism. But his performance on the field, I would argue it's been awfully good.
Was a move made yesterday by the Titans. Michael Badgley now out as the kicker. So the kicking carousel continues on. Andrew on the text line says, can we trade Lawan and Kevin Byard for Justin Tucker from Baltimore? With a smiley face.
There you go. Make the call.
Think Baltimore does that? Probably so.
Maybe Baltimore has something they'd like to get Mekhi Sargent in or something. You know?
Maybe
can
so.
You throw him in? They need running backs.
They do. Need offensive linemen, too. Had one of those fall down again yesterday.
There's some other offensive linemen. You wouldn't mind the Titans a trade.
Yeah, I'd say. But here we go again. I wonder who the kicker is going to be for the Titans this week. That'll be interesting to see. Randy Bullock, maybe the leader in the clubhouse? Do you give Steven Guskowski a call? Like, I guess, I don't know. Maybe they've called him already.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened. But, like, I figure if there was a week to call Steven Guskowski, maybe this is it.
Yeah. I mean, just really increase when you're sending, like, the meat and cheese basket. Like, go with the one with, like, the fancy wine, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the dessert package. Yeah, I would definitely make that effort. And there's got to be someone out there, right?
I mean, Cody Parkey's out there.
Cody Parkey. You know?
Former Titan.
Cody Parkey was not bad here.
No. And if memory serves me correctly, he wasn't bad last year.
Well, Parkey is – he was
– Double doink.
Double doink. But he was the one who was let go – when they thought Suckup was ready, if I'm remembering that. There's a lot of test of my memory today, and I'm not doing very well. But I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one. Am I right on that one?
Yes. And look, Parkey was 19 of 22 last year. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a gimme, isn't it? Over Bullock?
I would think so.
Unless Parkey's still mad at the Titans. I don't think he was too happy about
that. He missed
four
extra points, so it's not great. I mean, you know, Sam Pickens missed a lot of extra points last year, too.
Right.
So
I don't know. It's a weekly question.
Looking forward to having this discussion every week. Yeah. Really, really love talking about kickers. It's great stuff.
It's still better than having, like, every morning waiting for Tom Pelissero's COVID report.
That is true. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to break down the Titans and a wild week one in the NFL. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.